Shall we see? We'll get it right. You've got me at it.
I've done it again already. A new cinema and retail complex on the side of the William Hunter Way car park. Very, very much in the news at the moment. You've had a meeting on of the Ordinary Council on Wednesday. I've got statements here from the leader of Brentwood Council, Louise McKinley, statements from Mike Lasseur from the Labour Party. And I obviously want to take your viewpoint on it. Can we just start with a little bit of history? Because this does go back a little bit away.
It doesn't.
William Hunter Way is the area between where the Sainsbury's car park sits now, right up to the other end behind the Sugar Hut, and the car park right up to the...
Precisely.
So originally that was... It's always been a car park, and hasn't it?
No, it's not always been a car park. Originally, you had Thermos at the Sainsbury's end.
Yep, of course.
And I think it spread into that area. There was a swimming pool there, if my memory serves me right. And there was various small industries and so forth. And when the whole site was sold... to Sainsbury's, they made use of the land that they wanted to, and the council bought that part of the area from Sainsbury's. I think it was...
Everything west, basically.
Yeah, and I think it was about £1 million in them days, but it's probably made it the most expensive car park in Essex. But basically, it was always bought for redevelopment, and... it was always zoned as a, redevelopment for items that would benefit the town. That was the idea. It was never zoned as housing. It was always zoned as, you know, if you like, another Sainsbury's or whatever. So that's more or less the history behind it.
So and then several years ago, then you came up with a plan.
Yes, Brandon Lewis and put it to the chairs, of which I was one of the executive chairs at the time. What do we think about, looking for some bigger stores and a cinema, bring a cinema back to Brentwood? It's no secret, if you look around, how difficult it was to let Wilson's Corner, a big furniture store, but the type of design of the store meant that big furniture companies weren't prepared to move into it after it closed the stores on the furniture trade. Brentwood is very similar. Marks and Spencer's has got a nice store in Brentwood, but it's not big enough, it's not modern enough for them to show all their brands and so on and so forth. So there was that type of shop that was required. So we hatched a plan. That plan was several shops, one being a food type store, which Marks and Spencer's is, and to also bring a cinema. We looked at selecting somebody to do it. People put in requests. We eventually chose Stocklands because they already had experience in the town with the Baytree Centre, and also because one of the prime reasons was the fact that they owned the two stores, which are the two stores to the left of the steamer shop, which means that they can take them, demolish them, build something similar onto the side, but open up a big avenue like a plaza through from the the existing high street into the next high, into right opposite the cinema and so forth.
So it almost become an H in a way.
It will indeed.
Yeah,
it will indeed, yeah.
Have those plans, what were we talking about, 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, there was about 7-8. I mean, to be fair, there was numerous consultations in terms of having traders in. I mean, I hosted at least 3 or 4 of them myself. With people coming in to look at the proposals. We also had several designs from Stocklands, some of which we turned down, some of which we turned down at full council because we didn't consider them what we wanted to see. And eventually it went through planning and it was agreed. It went to full council. I can't actually remember the real reason behind it, but we withdrew it on the night from full council and said it needed to go back to planning to for planning to agree it, and then it would be ratified at full council. I was chairman of planning at the time. It went to planning. We agreed that it could have the planning application was upheld. We then took it to full council. Again, the whole planning and draft contracts were aired at full council, which was four or five years ago. It was agreed at full council to go ahead. And unfortunately, it was right at the time when High Street started to...
The recession really hit in.
And one of the... things that we built into the contract was that the developer couldn't start until they had let
66%
of the area, so that when it was built, it would open immediately. There wouldn't be empty shops standing there, you know, like ghosts waiting for somebody to occupy them. So everything has been let now, except for one store, which is like a corner part, the smallest part of the development.
Okay. Have those needs that you decided on 7 or 8 years ago, has anything changed? Has the economic climate changed, in your opinion, that you need to alter what you originally planned, or is it more or less stayed the same?
Yeah, we've had to look at the finances. I mean, originally, the minimum guaranteed rent was £325,000 a year, which... Let's be fair, it's a tongue-in-cheek document, because the economy could have really taken off, and we wouldn't have signed it if our advisors had said, well, £325,000 4 years ago, it now relates to £525,000.
Yeah.
But actually what happened was, because of the recession kicking in, our advisors, and they're the top advisors in the country in terms of retail and so on and so forth, CBRE, they said that the deal we was being offered was reasonable and, you know, par for the course. And it's meant that instead of 325, we're getting 225, £225,000 a year. But fortunately, we may not have taken it, but fortunately, because of the way the government policies to the business rates have changed, any new development that the council gets in its programme means we can keep 25% of the rates, of the business rates. So the overall package to the council is not what some people were saying, that over 25 years we'll be 2.5 million down. We'll actually be 2.5 million up, because the actual package, including the rates and the guaranteed rent, is 100,000 more than the 325,000 a few years ago.
I'm sure Mike Lasurf and Phil will argue those figures against you, but Phil's not here. I'll read a statement out from Mike in a minute. Let me just be absolutely clear in my mind then. So this is everything to the west of Sainsbury's, and should the cinema and the shops be built, will that take up the entire area, or is there space allocated for further car parking?
No, there is. In that development, in that whole area, there will be a multi-storey car park, which actually will, I think, William Hunt Way at the moment services about 420-odd cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the new multi-storey will be somewhere around about 624. So it's a couple of hundred more car parking spaces available when it's finished than there is now.
Okay. I'm going to read statements from the opposition councillors at the moment. I mean, the vote the other night was 2015, and you took what I can only really describe as an unusual decision, because you've now passed that decision on to the Chief Executive of Brentwood Council, Alison Crowe, haven't you? That she will make the decision in the new year whether to go ahead. Is that right?
Well, it is right, but what people don't understand is that the councillors haven't got the right to make a decision.
Why haven't they?
They have a right to make a decision at full council, but when it comes to signing the agreement, the agreement has to be signed by somebody like either the 151 officer or the chief executive or the managing director. Now, what I think people are misunderstanding with what the council agreed. The council agreed there was a number of items in the recommendation. The recommendation was that we accept the financial terms, which we have, that we accept... You know, everything that's been put forward by the developer in terms of GK Maxx, Marks and Spencer's, the cinema, Odeon Cinema. The only thing that we introduced was that because of the time element that has passed, the leader wanted to see some sort of penalties if they failed to keep the timetable that we also agreed on, which is roughly, and it has to be roughly because there's certain things need to be done, 106 agreements and so forth, but roughly that they, that at the moment in time, they start in July 2014 and they finish in September 2015. We did not want to see the car park boarded up and no action and so taken. Mm-hmm. So the leader has asked for some sort of penalty clauses within the agreement. So what actually happened is we've agreed everything. What we haven't agreed is the penalty clauses. And those, that decision on the penalty clauses, we've delegated authority to the managing director in consultation with the leader, would be myself because I'm the lead member, and the cross-party working group. But she would have this final decision whether she felt that the penalties were beneficial to the council.
Do you think, though, that perhaps she may be damned if she does and damned if she doesn't? That she may either side my fill her with praise or vitriol if not, if she goes the other way.
Well, yes, she could be, but I mean, if for argument's sake the developer come back and said, you know, we're not prepared to enter into any agreement that safeguards the council, then she would perhaps be in every right to say, well, I'm not willing to go ahead with the development because I'm not satisfied that they've given us enough undertaking that things are going to go ahead as is explained in their mm-hmm. agenda of works. Now, also, the suggestion is that there isn't enough pain in there for them at the moment if they don't go ahead. I disagree. I don't actually agree with the penalties problem myself mm-hmm. personally, but it is democratic. People will say it's not, but it's democratic.
Let me just say, read what Mike Lesurfis said. He said democracy has finally been killed off by Brentwood Tories who run the council. The administration have broken their promise to allow elected members to make the final decision on William Hunter Way at full council and instead delegated powers to Alison Crowe. The decision to proceed with this project defies rationality. After many years of wasted time, we had the opportunity to walk away and start again, but the Tories are intent on continuing to maintain this embarrassing farce. Am I taking by that Mike and other Labour members are against any development there, or are they... I mean, that's another argument is that you've only looked at one contractor, you haven't put it out to other contractors, that other schemes haven't been looked at. What would you say to that?
Well, it's very simple. We did look at loads of designs. There was recommendations and so on and so forth, and we was quite happy with the scheme. Personally, we was quite happy with what they come back. If we hadn't been happy with it, we would have perhaps asked for more input. Since that original agreement, and one of the main reasons for eventually choosing Stocklands was because they own those two shops that allowed the plaza to happen from one high street to the next. Mm-hmm. There was in the original agreement that if we didn't reach an agreement and didn't satisfactorily want Stocklands to undertake it, the council would have the right to buy those premises and then pass them on to another contractor. But we was quite happy with the project. And what Mike Lesurfis is saying is completely wrong, because he's ignoring the fact that at the time you could do that, you could go to a preferred contractor. You can't now. It's not available to you. The new EU rules means you have to go out to full European procurement. Mm-hmm. Now, to go out to full European procurement would mean that the council could not go to anybody. They say, well, why don't you go to Waitrose? They want to go there. Well, we couldn't go to Waitrose. They could be invited to contribute to the procurement process, but we couldn't go to them direct. There's other people who've said they've got an interest in it. We couldn't go to them direct. We would have to go through the procurement process. The procurement process will cost the council, and I can only go by the experts' submission will cost the council between £750,000, £750,000, and £1.4 million just to go through the process. That's how much it will cost. It will take 2 years.
In your ward at the moment, what are people talking about?
Doddinghurst, I mean, my ward is made up of three parishes, and it's very rural, or let's say it's rural and very rural. So, you know, you get further out into the country. But one of the things that's going on in Doddinghurst, which I'm quite passionate about, is that I didn't realise until it was brought to my notice and the parish started to work on the project, that Doddinghurst is one of only two or whatever in the country that hasn't got a war memorial. Mm-hmm. And they've set up a group to bring a war memorial to Brentwood, to Doddinghurst, and I think it's an excellent project. I'm very passionate about, the Poppy Day and Remembrance Day and so on and so forth, so I'm glad that these guys and ladies have put their heads together. They've got a design, they've got quite a reasonable, I think it's around about £12,000 to £15,000 to build this project.
And is this to commemorate the dead of both wars or all wars since the Great War?
It will be all wars. They are going through the process at the moment of trying to seek out, they're putting in adverts and trying to seek out anybody who's got relatives that died in the wars, the two Great Wars, that were local to Doddinghurst, and they've started to unearth some quite reasonable facts. And each one they're publishing with a little bit of history, and it's quite good reading. And as I say, they've raised quite a decent sum of money. They've put in a grant from the council, which is being part of the community's grant, and they've put an application for in the second phase, and that's being looked at the moment. And as councillors, we have a little fund. This is the second year it's been given to us. We've got sort of £1,000. There's three councillors in Brentwood. There's three councillors in Doddinghurst, Brises and Doddinghurst. They all have £1,000 each to spend on local community projects. And I've already approached the other parishes to say that in this instance, because I think it's such a worthwhile project, would they be happy if we gave our money to Doddinghurst to promote this war memorial? And the other parish councils are quite happy with this. So, we're hoping that if we can get the finances together, the group are working very, very hard. I think they've already got halfway there. Mm-hmm. That it may well be up by next year's Remembrance Day. So it's quite, they've set themselves a mammoth task, but I think it'd be well worthwhile.
Okay, anything else in your, I say postbox, it's an email box these days, isn't it?
Email now, yeah. Well, it's all sorts of things. I mean, we had quite a bit of damage from the storms, which fortunately our team have been working hard on. Unfortunately, they had to spend the first 3 or 4 weeks doing more safety work, where trees were not necessarily fallen, but were still sort of leaning there and looked pretty dangerous. So the storms caused a bit of problem, and now we're in the process of clearing up. Also happening at the moment, all the parishes are having their old age Christmas dinners for the elderly in their particular parishes, which is always a very, very good theme, and usually the councillors, if they can, go along as waiters and participate mm-hmm. in that. But so it's all organised by the parish. It's nothing to do with Brentwood Borough. It's nothing to do with the borough councillors, but we like to support it wherever we can. So all that's happening at this time of year, it's a good time of year for that sort of thing.
Okay. About a month ago, I had Brentwood First were in here, the Liberal Democrats were in here, the Labour Party were in here. Toys were invited on that particular occasion, couldn't turn up. We were talking about the Overview and Scrutiny Committee and the decision that your party took to remove Karen Chilvers from that post and put in your own party member. And their main criticism was that how can you have a Conservative councillor scrutinising a Conservative majority council? And at the same time, if you look at the example of Thurrock Council Conservative leader Phil there had written to John Kent begging him almost saying in open council that he wanted to put in a Tory councillor in the Labour scrutiny committee. It was a reverse thing. What was your viewpoint at the time, and do you think that's right? You've got a Tory councillor scrutinising a Tory councillor. Council.
Well, obviously, again, unfortunately, the opposition have done their homework, because in quite a huge majority of councils, the scrutiny panel is run by is chaired by a member of the governing body. We decided, or Brandon Lewis decided some years ago, to offer it to the opposition.
Yep.
There is no need, and there's no anything written down, and some of the best run overview and scrutiny panels are administered by the administration. They're not administered by the opposition. That's a fact.
Okay.
So that's how it stands in terms of what happens elsewhere. It's not written in stone. It's how we decided to offer it to the opposition. We decided, rightly or wrongly, that Karen Chilvers wasn't allowing it. She was, in my opinion, and it's a personal opinion, she's being easily led and going on out on a limb, which was unnecessary. So we decided to... We asked that she be removed as chair. We asked the Liberals, tactfully, if they would appoint somebody else as chairman.
Which they refused.
So to have scrutiny panel, and we gave them the offer right up to the last 10 minutes almost make a decision. They decided not to go along with it. So we installed a chairman of our own making.
Karen felt at the time that she was bullied. What would your remarks be to that?
Well, I don't think she was bullied. I think on two occasions she allowed herself, not on overview and scrutiny, but at two meetings, one meeting I was present at, and one meeting, the overview and scrutiny meeting, I wasn't at, she allowed her position as chair to be taken, I think, in vain. She allowed Brentwood First to carry along and take a vote of no confidence. She took the meeting I was at, after the meeting had been closed by the chairman, they carried along and asked her to sit in the chair and carry on the meeting. She'd done this, if you like, off her own back, but I don't think she was bullied. I think she was easily led, and I think the mistake she made is, I've seen her work as a chair, and I've got no problem with the way she's conducted herself, but in a couple of instances, she's allowed herself to be pushed into a position, I think, which is untenable.
Okay, well, thank you for those comments. Another point that raised, though, was, and I mentioned this to Eric Pickles the other day, was, and I loved his answer, actually. He gave me a really good answer, because I think the whole council came under a bad light 3-4 weeks ago. The behaviour of everybody, really, for ratepayers to see how their council were behaving on a webcast. Eric Pickle says, "Well, that should be seen, and that you should see warts and all." Mm. But others were saying, "Hang on, these people are getting paid not a massive amount of money, but expenses, etc." And
we don't get expenses.
Allowances.
Yeah.
They should better behave. What's your viewpoint on the webcasts, etc.?
Well, the webcast is there for, if you like, transparency, democracy, and also to see how people behave. Now, some people get quite upset. I won't name any names. When they're trying to impress, if they're not on the webcast, they get quite upset. Now, for me, I'm not bothered one way or another, but I think that people have got to realise that sometimes, in a lot of cases, Some of the subjects are very close to people's particular hearts, if you like, and sometimes the comments across the chamber are quite pointed. People throw arrows and people answer back. Now, I don't know whether that's right or wrong. I chair meetings in different areas. I chaired three meetings yesterday at county, at Chelmsford, and it was very, very civilised because we was dealing with a subject that everybody was there for the same subject. So it was only making decisions on whether a particular item should be agreed or not agreed. But when you're in the chamber, you've got people putting forward motions, some of which are a bit tongue-in-cheek, that they want to try and embarrass the administration with. We're not in the position to let ourselves be embarrassed. And then perhaps they might start... I mean, I can remember one of the issues on Wednesday night where one of the opposition members referred to all the administration as being idiots. A number of the administration took umbrage to that.
I'm sure I'm going to have to cut you short because we're coming right up to the news, but you're right to hang around for a little while. We'll see if we can track down Phil, see what's happened to him, and we'll carry on for the second hour. That is probably one of the best Christmas songs. We'll play a couple more before my time's out here today. That is Chris Rea, Driving Home for Christmas. My guest this afternoon is Keith Parker, who is the Conservative councillor for Brides and Donninghurst. And as I said, we were hoping Phil Minot was going to join us. He hasn't yet. I don't know if he's got his times wrong or something's delayed him or whatever. But I'm going to read out a statement from Phil in just a moment because we've been primarily talking about William Hunter Way and the decisions that, that have and haven't been taken this week. Let me just read out what Louise McKinley has said. Our number one priority throughout this process has been getting the best deal for Brentwood. I'm delighted the members have come to this decision. As well as the financial return this scheme will deliver, residents will benefit from all the other advantages it will bring to the borough. Brentwood's been dreaming of a cinema for a long time, and thanks to this decision, that dream is soon going to become a reality. Phil, and he would have said this in his own words, and I'm hoping he's not going to turn up after we've finished, Councillor McKinley, in this comment, she's just talking about what I've just read out, and in her tweets during the meeting last night, unfortunately showed her grasp of what has currently been decided and not decided is rather shaky. Last week, officers recommended to the council that in the absence of Stockland meeting some new conditions, the development agreement should not be made unconditional, that is, finalised, allowing the development to take place. By last night, Stockland had indeed failed to meet these new conditions, but the Tories simply backed down to the developer's benefit, but to the borough's detriment. There is therefore no evidence at present that Stockland will meet any new conditions in the next 6 weeks, particularly since they'll be done. They were once again reassuring this administration have continued failing to press the issue, and therefore nothing at all as of now is going to become a reality. Meanwhile, the nightmare scenario of the current William Hunter Way scheme possibly being built does continue to blight the borough, its residents' lives, its businesses and its economic prospects. What have you got to say against that, Keith?
Well, I disagree with a huge amount of it in terms of economic prospects and so on and so forth. Perhaps I can come back to that in a minute. We were speaking whilst we wasn't on the air, and I was saying that I was disappointed in the opposition's reaction to the very, very good reports and the process that one of the officers has gone through in presenting all the points in relationship to the William Hunter Way development. He's presented them very fairly to the opposition, and when we came down to the debate the other night, they ignored all the evidence that he'd given them. Now, what Phil Minot is referring to, unfortunately, is completely and utterly wrong. What we said prior to the meeting and what the officer told the Cross Party and told the opposition members when they were briefed on this, that we had asked for four items to be completed prior to the meeting on the 11th. I have to be honest and say that actually if we'd got three of those, we would have thought that we'd done quite well. Actually, we got all four. All four were completed. We had evidence that we'd already had evidence that TK Maxx was on board. We had written a statement from Marks and Spencers to say that they were still under contract to Stocklands to do that, to go into William Hunter Way. We had confirmation from the lawyers that Odeon had signed, and the fourth item was a complete rundown and showing how the timescale was going to be in the design of the final design for build and the development when it was starting, the various routes it was taking through the build's time, and when it was going to finish. Those are the four items we put forward, that if the developer could not have come produced those by the 11th, that we would consider that they hadn't done enough and we may have been in a position to turn it down. And I say may. Again, it's something that the opposition have ignored. And I'm sorry I have to keep calling them the opposition, because basically the whole lot were against the William Hunt Way development. So whatever was put towards to them, they sort of ignored.
And let me just clear that up. When you say they're against the development, are they against any development, or are they against what's proposed?
Well, it's a very difficult question to answer, because directly the development was proposed, they was against it.
You're talking about 7 years ago?
Yeah, and then halfway through it was, we realise that it's got to be developed, but we're against this one. And I can't look into the future and I can't read their minds. So am I wrong in assuming that they'd be against everything, or would they agree something? I mean, I don't know, but whatever's gone forward has always been, well, we don't like it.
Okay, all right. Well, just clear up something for me. When you say, let's just talk about Marks and Spencers, for instance. So you say, and I quite agree, that it is a small store, isn't it? And, Romford and Lakes are much, much bigger stores. Would that mean that the current Marks and Spencers would close completely and they'd move to a brand new, bigger store?
Yes, it does. But what, again, the information I have is that the store that Marks and Spencer's in is owned by one of the biggest, I can't remember their name, but they're a big store owner, if you like, and I believe Marks and Spencer's leased quite a number of premises from them. Marks and Spencer's are on a rolling lease with them, because if it wasn't for the fact that they're anticipating going into a new building, which they've stated quite candidly that they feel they can only show their products to their best ability, and there's lots of stuff they can't do in the store they're in. If they can't go into the new store and it's not available to them, that rolling lease will be curtailed and they will leave Brentwood. So, you know, Brentwood will lose its key store, if you like. You could argue that Marks and Spencer's, going through, I won't say a bad time, it just means that their profits are down, they're still earning vast amount of money, so they are still a keynote store anywhere in Britain. And they are very keen to move and show their products in a store that is purpose-built for that reason.
Going away from William Hunter Way, just for a second, would you say Brentwood High Street is quite healthy at the moment, compared to other high streets up and down the country where,
Brentwood High Street is very healthy. It's a bit of an anomaly because, again, I can understand what some of the opposition members are saying. If the economy is going up, if Brentwood is doing well against other high streets, the national average is about 14.5% empty shops. Brentwood, and I think, again, some things that people hate, I'm not saying I'm a particular fan because I don't know much about it, but Towie has kept quite a big interest in Brentwood and the High Street. is running at about 7%. No, not High Street, Brentwood itself is running about 7%. And the national average for empty shops is about 14.5%. So Brentwood is doing very well. But again, the argument being put against William Hunt Away is that the economy is going up. But what most businesses have been doing, and particularly big keynote businesses all around the country, all over England, they've renegotiated their leases with their big companies who lease the properties to them. Big companies don't want to lose them. And because the high streets have been in decline, and because of the crash, they haven't been earning so much money, so they've renegotiated their leases in terms of bringing them down so that they can still maintain their premises.
That is my worry. Anybody who ever goes to Lakeside, for example, it just seems the turnover of businesses there seems to be very high. And if you talk to any shop owner there, they'll say, well, the difficulty there is that although you get quite a high footfall, that the rates they have to pay to Lakeside, which is a private company, are just, huge. They're just huge. Now, how difficult is it as a council to set those rates and keep the balance to keep shops in business and collect an affordable rate?
Well, let's be fair, it's impossible. The rates are determined by how much your rent is, basically. That's the indication of how the business rates are set. So that is one of the reasons why companies are negotiating with their landlords to bring their rents down, which will also bring their business rate. Again, just to make a point of some of the reasons why they've suggested that it's not such a good deal, is that we've got a 225 minimum rent. But the most important thing that we negotiated was that we managed to negotiate up when the original amount was 209,000, but we asked for more. We got 225,000, but they did that by increasing the percentage, the gearing. The gearing is 10. It was 10%. It's 10.7% of the rent being received from the shops. So when the shop rent goes up, which it probably will do if you're arguing that the economy is going up, we will get 10.7% of that increase. So though we're guaranteed a minimum of 2.225, that could increase because we've got this built-in percentage of whatever the developer earns, we get a percentage of.
Is there a danger, though, if William Hunt goes away and is built as you want it, that you're going to drain the high street, or should the two work together? I mean, just going back to what Phil's said in his comment, because Louisa said, most importantly, will help us make sure that Brentwood continues to be a place people want to visit and enjoy spending their time and money. And he agrees with that, but it could also drain all the life out of the high street and leave commercial Brentwood outside of William Hunt Way, a disaster area, why it's so crucial to get it right. Brentwood Conservatives have taken the wrong step at each turn of the path, and that seemingly has included encouraging Stockland to coax Marks and Spencer out of the high street, thus ensuring that in a devastatingly outside scheme, the largest single unit will simply house a business that was already in the town and not bringing a new one.
Well, I think I answered that question a little.
I think you did.
By saying that Marks and Spencer has made it clear, if they don't go into a new business, a new premises, they will be leaving Brentwood. So, the fact is, they didn't coax Marks and Spencer's into it. Let's be honest. The rumour was, and it was only a rumour, but they was negotiating with Waitrose to go into part of William Hunt Way. This was Stocklands. And they, because of the downturn in the economy, I think my guess is, gut feeling, is that Waitrose tried to play a bit of more hardball than was necessary with the developer. They desperately want to come to Brentwood. We can't negotiate them for the reasons I gave earlier. But they... they sort of kept the developer on the hook, kept on saying, oh, we're thinking about it. No, we don't like the car park. We don't like this. We don't want that. And all of a sudden, Marks and Spencer's, as I say, decided that they was either going to leave Brentwood or have a new store. And they just went up to the developer and said, we'll have it. We'll sign here. Okay. And Waitrose were left hanging in the air.
Okay. All right, Keith, I think we've discussed this enough, really. Well, let's just summarise then that the decision you took 2015 the other night on Wednesday night, that it was agreed in council, you're saying, and you've just left to sign on the dotted line up to Alison to sign there. The main criticism from the opposition is that you haven't you could have got a better deal, I think, particularly Brentwood First was saying, basically, the opposition are against virtually anything you do there at the moment.
Well, it would seem so. You know, the argument that we could get a better deal, that's a bit of a fantasy. One of the best companies, the best company in the world, we're not talking about in Brentwood, we're not talking about in England, we're talking worldwide, CRB, I can't even say it now, but CBRE, they advise numerous companies, numerous branches, numerous councils about the ability and the possibility of whether a scheme is viable or whether you're getting the best deal for it. Now, we employed them, and even the officers or even the members of Brentwood Council, haven't got the ability to take into consideration what rents should be, what the best deal is. One of the things that CBRE could have done, and the council would have had to take notice, is if they came back to us and said, look, the developer has actually taken far less rent for these premises, so you're going to get far less money, we think that you shouldn't take this deal. But CBRE came back and said that the developer had asked a reasonable amount, and the companies were paying a reasonable amount, taking the economic situation into account. That's what they would expect anybody else to pay, and that's what they would expect anybody else to ask. So the council could not be seen to be taking a bad deal, because they was taking the best deal that was on the table for them. And they also said that even if the council went out in 2 years and then looked over the next 2 years for somebody else to take up the deal and deliver something similar to what the council's already asked for, they said they could not expect that deal to be any better in the next 2 years.
Okay. Keith, thank you very much for coming today. I'd just like to say that I'm sure, as always, you're always very welcome to come into the studio, and I'm sure you will in 2014. Can I just wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas?
Thank you very much.
I know it's going to be a particularly tough Christmas for you this year, but I hope it's successful for you.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.